Well, today is Florida's turn to participate, or Tuesday is Florida's turn to participate in the presidential primary season. Six candidates remain in the running. You may have heard this. In political elections, we consider men and women based on their party, their record, and their platform. We seek someone with high ideals, a vision of the future, a sense of what can be, a candidate who articulates our dreams and longings for a better world. And in making our decision about whom to support, some of us look at the candidate's religious beliefs. This is one of the factors, one among many, that informs our decision. The governor of Ohio, John Kasich, grew up in Pittsburgh. His ethnic heritage includes Croatian and Czech backgrounds. As a child, he attended a Roman Catholic church named Mother of Sorrows, where he served from the fourth grade on as an altar boy. His childhood dream, the childhood dream of John Kasich, was to be a priest. His friends nicknamed him Pope. He said, "I was determined to be the best altar boy Mother of Sorrows ever had, ever had seen by a mile." Kasich greatly admired the assistant pastor, a man who oversaw the youth programs in the church. But then one day, this priest announced to the congregation that he had fallen in love with a young woman in the church. He told the people of this Catholic parish in Pittsburgh that he was leaving the priesthood and that he and this young lady were going to get married. It was a great scandal in the church. People were angry, not only at the assistant priest, but also bitterly angry at the young woman for seducing him. This all happened around 1970, just as John Kasich was graduating from high school. About this time, Kasich said that he realized if he liked girls, he could not be a priest. He drifted away from his religion as an adult. But then he came to embrace the Anglican faith after a drunk driver killed both of his parents in a car crash in 1987. He wrote a book in 2010 called Every Other Monday, 20 Years of Life, Lunch, Faith, and Friendship. It's a book that he wrote about a Bible study group that he attends every other Monday, a gathering of a group of friends over lunch in an Italian restaurant in Columbus, Ohio, that's been going on for over 20 years. Today, Kasich is a member of the St. Augustine Church in Westerville, Ohio, part of the conservative Anglican Church in North America. The denomination broke away from the Episcopal Church after the Episcopal Church consecrated an openly gay bishop. The church that John Kasich is a member of does not permit any female bishops and does not permit ordination of non-celibate gay priests. Kasich publicly says that he bases his policies as a governor of Ohio on his religious beliefs. He said, quote, "When you die and get to that meeting with St. Peter, St. Peter is probably not going to ask you much about what you did to keep government small. But St. Peter is going to ask what you did for the poor. you better have a good answer. John Kasich. Florida Senator Marco Rubio has the most unusual personal religious story of anyone on the campaign trail right now. He was born Roman Catholic, baptized as a Catholic, and today he is a practicing Catholic. But this occurred today, today's religion occurred after exploring the Mormon and the Southern Baptist faiths. The exposure to the Mormon Church came when Rubio was 8 years old and his family moved from South Florida to Las Vegas. In Las Vegas, his mother attributed the wholesomeness of the neighborhood they were living in to the influence of the Mormon Church. Young Rubio, having been baptized as an infant as a Roman Catholic, was now baptized again, this time in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He spent 3 years as a Mormon, upheld its teachings more enthusiastically than his parents, and he criticized his father for working as a bartender in Las Vegas. Mormons abstained from alcohol. As an adult back in Florida, Rubio was married in 1998 in a Roman Catholic church. But 2 years later, in the year 2000, he and his wife started attending Miami's Christ Fellowship, which is a Southern Baptist congregation. He would go with his family to the Southern Baptist services on Saturday nights and then go to Mass on Sunday morning at St. Louis Catholic Church in Miami. Rubio today says his ideal church would be a Roman Catholic Mass that included the screens and the rock band of a contemporary megachurch Baptist service. However, he is not a completely loyal Roman Catholic. He disagrees strongly with Pope Francis on the issue of climate change and the issue of income inequality. Marco Rubio. Now, according to the Religious News Service, Ted Cruz's father, Rafael Cruz, was a Catholic Cuban refugee working in the energy industry in Calgary when Ted was born in 1970. But in 1975, Ted Cruz's father became a born-again Christian. By the time Ted Cruz was a teenager, Rafael Cruz, his father, was a traveling evangelical preacher. Now Rafael pastors a church in Dallas and directs Purifying Fire Ministries, ministering in the United States, in Mexico, and in Central America. According to the article in the Religious News Service, and I give my source on this because this is the next things I'm going to say are quite amazing, I think. According to an article in the Religious News Service, Ted Cruz believes he is engaged in fighting with the devil for the soul of the nation. When Cruz says he wants to reclaim or restore America, he wants to restore the United States to what he believes is our country's original identity, a Christian nation. One of Cruz's most trusted advisors is a man named David Barton. For several decades, Barton has been an advocate, activist with a political mission to make the United States a Christian nation again. He runs Keep the Promise, a multi-million dollar Ted Cruz super PAC. Historians have discredited David Barton's work on the history of America, but Ted Cruz still believes him. Rafael Cruz describes his son's political campaign as a direct fulfillment of biblical prophecies. This is in a book published in January 1st of this year by Ted Cruz's father, Rafael Cruz. According to his father, God has anointed Ted to help Christians in their effort to occupy the land and take dominion over it. This end-of-time transfer of wealth will relieve Christians of all financial worries, allow true believers to ascend to a position of political and cultural power in which they can build or rebuild a Christian civilization in America. When this Christian nation is in place, or back in place, Jesus will return. Cruz's home church is Houston's First Baptist, a Southern Baptist congregation. And February 1st, after winning the Iowa Republican primary, he started his speech by saying, he didn't start by thanking the voters, he said, "Let me first of all say, to God be the glory." According to the Religious News Service, Senator Cruz's goal is to lead a Christian takeover of America in anticipation of the second coming of Christ. Ted Cruz. Donald Trump told Christian Broadcasting Network in 2012, quote, "First Presbyterian Church in Jamaica, Queens is where I went to church," end quote. This is the church where Donald Trump's parents attended and in which he was baptized as a child. The Jamaica Queens Church is a member of the Presbyterian Church USA, and this is one of the most liberal Christian denominations in the United States. They have actually looked into excommunicating Mr. Trump. But this turned out not to be possible because they can find no record of his membership. Trump said in an interview, "I'm a Protestant, I'm a Presbyterian. And you know, I've had a good relationship with the church over the years. I think religion is a wonderful thing. I think my religion is a wonderful religion. I go to church as much as I can, always on Christmas, always on Easter." When he attends church in New York City, Trump often goes not to the Presbyterian Church, but to Marble Collegiate Church, a Dutch Reformed church. The church was once the pulpit of Norman Vincent Peale, the author of the mega-selling The Power of Positive Thinking. Trump mentions Peale frequently in his campaign. However, Marble Collegiate Church also has no record of Trump's membership. In Iowa, he attended the Sunday morning service at a First Presbyterian church a week before the Iowa caucuses. He dropped $50 bills in the offering plate. The Presbyterian minister then preached a sermon that morning on how Christianity requires that we welcome the stranger. Trump said, "People often send him Bibles, and he keeps every one of them in, quote, a very nice place," end quote. Trump sometimes takes a Bible along to wave at campaign events, but he has said, quote, "I would have a fear of doing something other than very positive, so actually I store them and keep them and sometimes give them away to other people. But I do get sent a lot of Bibles, and I like that. I think that's great." At Liberty University, he said his book, The Art of the Deal, is the second best book in the world after the Bible. Donald Trump. Now, all her life, Hillary Rodham Clinton has been a moderate, evolving, social justice-focused Methodist. The story of her religious belief goes back to the fall of 1961 when she was 13. That year, Reverend Donald Jones arrived to serve as the youth minister at First Methodist Church in Park Ridge, Illinois, where Hillary attended with her parents. Reverend Jones's message was that the Christian lifestyle should embody faith in action, which included trying to help people who were less fortunate. Jones took the group to hear Dr. Martin Luther King speak. King said, "The old order is passing away and a new one is coming in. We should all accept this order and learn to live together as brothers in a world society, or we will all perish together." Reverend Jones and Hillary remained friends, and in her memoir, Hillary singles out Reverend Jones for his help in getting through the crisis in her marriage in 1998. Reverend Jones believes that social change should come about slowly, slowly without radical action. He was Hillary Clinton's spiritual mentor until his death in 2009. When they came to Washington in 1993, Hillary and Bill Clinton joined Foundry United Methodist Church. Foundry is a progressive Methodist church. In 1996, both presidential candidates, both Bill Clinton and Robert Dole, were members of Foundry United Methodist Church. Last September, Hillary and Chelsea Clinton spoke at Foundry as part of the church's 200th birthday celebration. In April of 2015, Hillary Clinton told the annual United Methodist Women Assembly that her faith has guided her to be an advocate for children and families, an advocate for women and men around the world who are oppressed and persecuted, an advocate for people who are denied their human rights and their human dignity. Hillary Clinton. Brooklyn-raised Bernie Sanders was born to a Polish-Jewish immigrant father whose family was mostly wiped out during the Holocaust. His mother was also the daughter of a Polish-Jewish immigrant family. After he graduated from the University of Chicago in 1964, Bernie Sanders spent several months in Israel on a kibbutz, an agricultural collective, and one of the Jewish state's experiments with socialism. By Jewish law, Sanders is Jewish. Today, he identifies as culturally Jewish, but he has freely acknowledged that he is not a religious person in the sense of actively attending a temple or a synagogue. He is the first non-Christian American in the history of our country to win a presidential primary. Sanders received applause from the conservative Christian audience at Liberty University when he said Americans should stand with the poor. He quoted from both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and he told students, "I am motivated by a vision which exists in all the great religions, in Christianity, in Judaism, in Islam, Buddhism, and other religions, and which is so beautifully and clearly stated in Matthew 7:12. And it states, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." "That is the golden rule," said Bernie Sanders. "Do to others what you would have them do to you." He concluded, "It is not very complicated." Asked whether he believes in God, Sanders avoided answering the question directly. He said, What I believe in and what my spirituality is about is that we're all in this together. That I think is not a good thing. That I think it is not a good thing to believe that as human beings we can turn our backs on the suffering of other people. He said, we cannot worship just billionaires and making of more and more money. Life is more than that. Bernie Sanders. So these are the candidates. John Kasich, who is a member of a conservative Anglican church in Ohio. Marco Rubio, a member of a Roman Catholic church in Miami who sometimes attends a Southern Baptist megachurch. Ted Cruz, a member of Houston's First Baptist Church, a Southern Baptist congregation. Donald Trump, who identifies as a Presbyterian. Hillary Clinton, a member of Foundry United Methodist Church in Washington. And Bernie Sanders, culturally Jewish, but not a member of any Jewish temple, not a member of any synagogue. So in making your decision about whom to vote for on Tuesday, I think it is appropriate for you to consider each candidate's religious beliefs, but this should be only one factor, one among many that will inform your decision. Finally, whom, you may ask, does Roger Fritz recommend? I strongly, strongly urge you to vote for the best candidate.